Hey everybody, this is John.
And this is Vince.
And we're Legends of Tabletop.
Creating legends one die at a time.
Check us out at legendsoftabletop.com.
Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Star Wars Episode 1 beginnings. Civil War has engulfed the galaxy. As the evil Galactic Empire tightens its grip on countless star systems, its citizens attempt to survive amongst the ever-expanding struggle. The crew of The Last Ride, Draco Revan, Rodian mercenary, Vog Drosh, former Trandoshan slaver, the disheveled Bothan doctor, Risker Basil, and led by the charming Captain Lan Kai, struggle to survive the muddy waters that are the Outer Rim's underworld. After delivering a shipment of illicit goods to the barren planet Cassadine, our favorite smugglers decide to take advantage of the many opportunities the Shadowport has to offer.
First episode of the podcast, we will go ahead and roll our destiny. We will not roll for obligation since it's the first episode. So let's go ahead and go around the room. We'll start with Commander Cody.
One dark side.
One dark. Claire?
One dark.
One dark.
Uh-oh. And Draco?
Oh, my God.
One dark.
Oh, God.
So the destiny pool stands at four. All of them are dark. Jeez.
Force is not in our favor.
Force is not in our favor, right. After arriving or delivering your cargo that you're pretty sure was illegal spice, you smuggled it into Felina, which is a city on the planet of Cassadine. It's a barren world that has been strip mined. So you have a couple of options as the sandstorm looms in the not too far distant. I mean, you guys have probably a few minutes to either get back to the ship before it hits or get into the tents, however you want to do it. Your sole purpose in coming here is to scavenge anything of usable value that you can return to the mining company's primary office there in Felina and remain alive at the same time, because we know there's three hostile things out here, potentially hostile things. You know, one, you got the sandstorm that's coming. Number two, you know that other people could potentially be out here trying to scavenge the same kind of stuff you are, and they may not take too kindly to what you're doing. And number three, and probably the most important, is the indigenous peoples, the species that dwell here, which are the Scorn, which are the reptile cannibal-looking guys. So, you know, you've got at least those three things. Not to mention any other native wildlife that may, you know, have taken up residence in the quarry that wouldn't be too happy with you being here. So you have a couple of few minutes to decide what you want to do, because you can see it and you can feel the wind begin to pick up, blowing anything that's loose around. If you have loose articles of clothing, you know, they're flapping in the wind and the sand. And you guys are wearing face masks, though, right?
And a heat suit, you know,
right.
Suits that we got from the
heat. Specifically, you guys bought respirators to protect your face and your eyes.
Right. So we'll head back to the ship. There's no sense in staying out in this while it's storm coming.
As you guys are, you know, you're hustling, you're moving with purpose towards the ship because you want to be whatever. You can see that wall. Think of a particular movie. I don't know if you guys saw the Fury Road Mad Max movie, but there's the scene where that they go into that dust storm. So it's kind of like that. This thing is huge as it barrels your way. As you guys are running and get roughly halfway there, you can hear the engines whine of a couple of starships that are in the process of landing. They fly overhead and you can see their landing gear start to drop out as they hit the ground real quick. You guys could probably make an easy education check.
Oh, sweet. This is the first time I've got to use education since, like, forever.
Oh, no. I was just surprised to hear that many dice shaking.
I'm a smart man.
He just
man.
Didn't believe you were that educated.
I did not.
Because he's met you.
You're a learned doctor.
Huh.
I can read.
The best kind.
Can you say that about most doctors? I am a genius. Not only did I get 3 successes and 2 advantages, but I got a triumph.
Okay. What about you, Lan?
1 failure.
1 failure. You know they're... Those are starships.
Those are definitely starships.
Yep. Draco?
1 success.
1 success?
I got 2 successes and 2 threats.
2 threats.
So I saw what I was supposed to see, but I'm just so stressed out and frustrated because we should have gone into the hole. Now the competitors have got a step ahead of us.
Right. Yep, true that. And, you know, you could have landed your ship down in the strip mine had you wanted to, because it's big. I mean, they've got big earth movers that the ones that are left are down there.
Well, now that it is a strip mine, that's what we would have done.
Right, because right. You can be down there, which you would see the clouds and stuff start to loom through the opening of the strip mine. But you can see the ships landing, starting to land off on the other side of the strip mine. So the failure, of course, you have no clue. You know they're starships. You know they're probably freighters. Steve, you got 1 success, and is that it? You just straight up success? Okay, so you definitely know that those are freighters. They're freighters very much like the one that you have, even though you've never seen the design before. Cody, you got 2 successes. So you're not sure, but you think those, aside from being starships and freighters, you also know that the manufacturer, those are Golden Pantheon designs. You know that. Dr. Risker, on the other hand, knows that they're Golden Pantheon design ships. They are freighters. They're Reimer class freighters, and they're used for hauling large, bulky cargo. Not like a YT-1300, which is modular. You know, it's got different holds, so you can pack lots of smaller stuff in it. These vessels, the Reimer class, are like, they carry large, heavy cargo. And it could be, you know, big items can fit in the hold instead of having to break it apart like you would in your ship. And you also know that Golden Pantheon originates out of the corporate sector, and it's a rising star in the starship sales industry, especially once they acquired the celebrity Yulantau, especially once they acquired him as their CEO. It brought a certain celebrity endorsement, and it's really kicked their sales up. So these ships are not new. They do not look like they just come off the assembly line. They're about as rough and worn as yours is. They have, you know, patches of different colored plating on them where they've covered a hole or, you know, something. You can see a lot of carbon scoring too, even from down here as they land. But all they do is land. And you guys have just enough time to get into your vessel and get the door shut before the storm hits. Now, being down deep in this enormous strip mine that probably goes, you know, hundreds of meters deep, you're shielded from a lot of the really bad part of the storm. But as you're looking out the windows, you can tell that you guys made the right decision not getting in the tents, because you can see the tent whip by in the air as the wind picks it up. And one of them actually hits the front of the cockpit and hangs on. You're like, oh man, this is going to block our view for most of this storm, but eventually it catches and flies off.
I'm going to look over to Lan, and I'm going to hand him offer him the fusion lantern I found in the tent. Well, at least we got this much out of it before the storm hit.
Yeah, I'm afraid there won't be much left after the storm goes through.
Undoubtedly. Did you see those ships? They're meant for this kind of thing, you know? I mean, they're going to take a lot, but they're probably just here to scavenge the parts rather than look for the people that are lost here, though.
It's probably true, as I don't think there are as many parts left for them to scavenge, truthfully, here on site.
Well, they'll probably go for the more buried machines, the bigger ones meant for clawing. Yeah.
Well, they're welcome to those. I don't think we can carry them anyway.
We have Bob.
It's not a matter of moving it. It's where would I move it to? Our vessel isn't designed to carry something of that size. We'd have to dismantle it and put it back together. And that's assuming that we have the knowledge to do it and that all the pieces are there for it to be worth the trouble.
I can fire up the turret and eliminate anything for them to take out of here if you want me to. That'd get them out of here.
I I don't think it's necessary to get to that point. I think this could probably be solved a little bit more diplomatically.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're not here to cause trouble. We're here to, you know, and improve our fortune and, you know, not make more enemies than, you know, kind of already have.
I just don't like them being here. We were here first.
Well, we'll be sure to point that out to them, Draco, when we talk to them. So we'll wait out the storm.
Okay, there's a couple things that you can do beforehand. Being a relatively experienced crew of a freighter, you know that every vessel, as long as the engines are running, transmits its transponder signal, which gives you some information. It tells you who owns the ship. It tells you the name of the ship, the primary purpose. There's all kinds of information that it transmits. You know, is it a registered freighter? Is it a registered transport, personal transport? Is it, you know, public transport? It's all those kind of things. Both these vessels would be transmitting that.
And it would. Would that be a computer?
It would check? Be. And it would be an easy computer's check.
Don't look at me. I can't type. Three fingers.
You have frog hands.
That's what it would be like.
My fingers get stuck on the keys.
One success and one advantage.
Oh, nice. So, do you have... First of all, let me tell you what the successes do, and then we can come up with how you want to spend your advantages. With the successes, you know both vessels are transmitting. You know that the first vessel is called the Corsair, and the second vessel is called the Reaver. They're both registered to the same guy. His name is Talos Kiza. And their primary purpose is registered as just cargo haulers. They're tramp freighters pretty much like you, which questions why are they here other than scavenging.
Okay. With the advantage, would I be able to learn more about that particular type of vessel, their capabilities? That pulls up with the schematic.
Sure. So they're comparable to the Wayfarer, I think is what it's called. The other vessel that you guys can choose? Yeah, Wayfarer. They're comparable to a Wayfarer in that they're heavy bulk cargo haulers, but and they go armed. They're slow, they're methodical, they're tough. And the Golden Pantheon is into the same mentality that the Corellian Engineering Corporation is that they want their vessels to be modifiable so as to promote sales. These two vessels are heavily modified in the fact that they're more heavily armored than a typical vessel. And this could come from you and Dr. Risker talking about it, since Risker knew so much, you know, him going, you know, these vessels do this, this, and this, because for some unknown reason he knows more about these things than a doctor should. Maybe he's as well read, I don't know.
Excited about telling you too, because he knows so much about it.
Right. But also there's been a lot of aftermarket weapons added. So these things go very heavily armed for a typical, even more so than a typical civilian vessel.
That's
really odd.
Yeah, that's really peculiar. I mean, they don't come with weapon schematics like these. I mean, why do you think they've attached those? I mean, I really shouldn't even be here when you think about it.
Well, if I could afford to attach those weapons to my ship, I would have too. It's a dangerous place out here on the rim.
It's just so far out here too. Well, they must have just preparing for, you know, the Scorn and stuff, right? I mean, that's...
Sure. The Scorn or any other danger.
There's a lot of them out here.
Where did they land? Did they land inside the Strip too, or did they land on the top?
The strip mine is large. It's probably, you know, the equivalent of 8 city blocks in diameter. So it's huge. And there's lots of abandoned equipment just left sitting around. And what they've done is they strip mine down. And once they got down to the point to where they are now, they started drilling into the walls of the mine so that they could, you know, mine in each direction as well. So there's like probably 3 or 4 different cavernous openings that they've put tunnelers through and drilled on. So this thing's pretty big. Now, these guys land in relatively close proximity, but they're still still a good ways out where you can, you couldn't make out any identifying marks, but you can tell that they're heavily armed from this distance. Hmm. Like you can't see people sitting in the cockpit from here. You're too far away, but you can see that there's different colored plates. There's added weapon mods, added missile tubes, that kind of stuff. I mean, these guys are very heavily armed for tramp freighters.
Looking at it kind of makes me feel bad about our ship, doesn't it?
Well, we're scrappy. I wouldn't feel bad about us.
We've pulled through a lot.
But we don't have those kind of gear, those weapons or defenses or that big of ship.
Of course, we don't go around calling ourselves, what'd you say it was, the Reaver? That don't sound like somebody's traveling around to make friends.
Well, let's see. I'll turn on the communicator. Contact.
Okay. So, as your vessel establishes contact, are you reaching out to both of the two vessels or just either one?
We'll say both.
Okay. You can... The indicator tells you that a connection has been established, so communication is now open. But at this point, there's no conversation from them.
This is the last ride, contacting unknown vessels.
A voice crackles because the sandstorm is playing havoc with communications. He doesn't, like, cut in and cut out, and it's not choppy or anything. You just hear a little bit of static in the background that kind of comes and goes. And he says it's rough, but it's a little, I don't know, it's the thick accent. He says,
"This is Captain Ozawa of the Corsair."
"Captain, this is Captain Lan Kai of the Last Ride. Did the mining company send you to help us?"
"Not to help you, no. We were not aware of anyone else to be here and hoped we had found a nice prize with the YT-1300 just sitting there, but we now see that it is occupied."
"That is correct."
Are you the owner of that vessel? Do you have documentation showing that you are?"
"Of course."
And you immediately are like, "That's a weird question."
"We're going to get mugged. I can feel it down my spine. We're going to get mugged."
"What's the best way to get a new starship other than having your current one stolen?"
"Right, you weren't happy with this starship, remember?"
"Yeah."
"Well, this is Claire talking.
You brought this down on us for bad-mouthing. You cannot bad-mouth our ship while we've got 4 dark side points staring back at us."
It was risky.
"You're just begging for doom to come down upon us."
"Aww."
"Yeah, and I'm going to try to make sure that the initial destiny pool sets the overall tone for the story."
"Great.
We're in trouble."
"All right, we are definitely in trouble."
I spend a dark side point to send a meteor on the Corsair.
I force lightning, Dr. Isker.
With my frog toes.
"Felt really good. I think I'll do it again. I know why the Emperor likes it so much."
"Nice. Captain, that is kind of a strange question to be asking, but we are definitely willing to sit down and talk at some point after this storm. But I can assure you, this is my ship. My documents are in order."
"Tell them we're well armed."
Don't misunderstand me, Captain. I thought the vessel was abandoned like the rest of this junk and thought it might turn an easy profit. But again, it's occupied and you are in fact the owner, then there's really nothing to contest."
"Good to hear. As I said before, we're here on behalf of the mines to check on the miners that were here and to collect any materials that were left behind during the incident that occurred."
"Oh, yeah. Poor souls. Who knows what those horrible scorn have done to those people. It's most unfortunate."
"Does he say it in that tone?"
"He says it just like that."
"I look at Draco and nudge in the direction of one of the gun ports. Gunwales.
Better ride this one out.
"Once the storm passes, then how about we talk, Captain?"
"Sounds fine."
Click. The connection is severed.
"All right. It's not just me, right? That guy is, like, really creepy. I mean..."
"I don't care for him."
"I see. He's..."
"No, sir. I don't like him."
I know he didn't say anything, like, you know, bad, but I just... But look at my fur. It's, like, standing on end. It's just...
I certainly didn't like his tone. Do you think we could outrun them if we have to?
Can I think if...
You know for a fact you can outrun them if you had to.
Yes.
Those things are slow and ponderous. They're built for durability, not speed. That's, of course, assuming, and you've not had a proper mechanic to take a good look at what they've done to the engines, but straight off the showroom floor versus what you've got, you could definitely outrun them.
Yes, yes. Quick and out.
He's just going to size us up and see if he can take our ship.
And Dr. Risker points out, and I'm going to take over for Claire for a second, but he's also probably going to say something along the lines of, we could definitely outrun them as long as they don't shoot us out of the sky first.
Well, I think as long as we can make it clear that he might be able to shoot the ship down, but he ain't going to be able to get anything, we can make sure that it's certainly not worth his trouble. So if he shoots our ship down, there's not going to be any point in destroying the ship to take it.
Right, there wouldn't be anything left.
Right, and I know I ain't going down without a fight.
How bad is the storm right now?
It's bad. It's so bad at this point that visibility is a mere probably 3 meters out from... If you were standing in the cockpit looking out, you could see about 3 meters out from into the storm. And you can see dark shadows passing as, you know, the clouds and stuff and clusters of dust and sand move by. You can't see the other two vessels from where you are. They're just not there.
Could someone go out into the storm and walk?
You could. With the proper athletics checks, you could. It's not going to be easy, I'll tell you now. It'll probably be hard to do that, but it's possible. And that's, of course, assuming that your respirator doesn't get clogged up, which brings another concern to your mind that hopefully our ship's intakes and all that stuff's not clogged up, because I would imagine that would be a major concern of...
Oh, absolutely.
Living in a desert environment.
Sand gets everywhere. It's what it does.
Right.
It's awful.
In between your toes and your...
How close are
we? Star Wars knows a lot about sand. They talk about it all the time.
Who does?
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
How close are we to one of the Earth movers that we saw?
Well, obviously, you can't see one from where you're standing or from the cockpit or from any viewport that you would have, but there's probably one maybe 20 meters out.
And if we just wait for the storm to clear out, we know that there's definitely at least one digger in each of these holes, because it made these holes and they didn't take it with them when they ran.
Right. And there's some assumptions there, assuming that, you know, when the mining company officially pulled out the major operations, they didn't take that stuff with them, or somebody else hasn't already scavenged them. They could be in there, but then again, there's a possibility they could not be. Or there could just be one that dug all the holes. So unless you guys are going to do something prior to the storm's end, I'm going to move on.
I'm going to check on the air filter. With, like, the sand being as tough as it is, it's probably a good idea to check on that.
I would imagine that it has like a status bar, like lights with green that fade and have like different lights that light up, with green being, you know, optimal, fading to a greenish yellow, into a yellow, into an orange, and then into red. Then the top one would be like a flashing red, which means they're not working at all. You're probably in the yellow to the yellow transition into orange. So they're in rough shape, but they're holding. They're okay for now.
Okay.
And of course, you guys can, you know, hear the sand sliding across the surface of the vessel, that kind of stuff. I imagine the way I see this, the scene ending is the wipe, and then all's clear, you know, and you guys are looking out and you can see the way the wind was blowing. It's almost like sand dunes or snow dunes or sand dunes, wherever things built up, wherever it's been barricaded against. When you open the ramp, assuming that you do, you can see it's heaped up. And the way the wind was blowing, and it's just everywhere, you know, because like the YT-1300 have those ridges and those where it's around the center of the ship, so sand's built up in there, it's piled up on top. The top of your vessel almost looks smooth on one side because the sand has filled all the little crevices of the ship, and you can see this the earth movers and the other vehicles like that.
Can we see the other ships?
You can at this point. You can see that I'm not going to say a crowd of people, people, but probably at least six people have begun to gather outside. And from your distance, you can see one guy. He looks like he's holding something about the size of a basketball. You can't really tell what he's doing, but he throws it up into the air and it goes up about probably 3 or 4 meters above him and then hangs in the air and then starts to move off. And it is like a, it goes all around the perimeter, which you wouldn't see it do that, but you're assuming that it's doing that because you guys are most likely going to walk over and talk to these guys or at least communicate with them. But you can see them, they're sending out at least one probe.
Okay, I would like to wait until they move a little closer towards us. I don't want to meet them right outside their ship.
Sure. So who's still inside the last ride? Because I'm assuming Lan obviously stepped out. Who else stepped out with him?
I'll step out with shield bound to my arm, ready.
Okay, so you have your shield. And what about you, Draco?
Yeah, I'm going to head over to the closest earth mover and just see if it's still functioning.
Okay, and what about you, Risker?
I'm a cower in the ship.
Okay, where are you cowering in the ship? You in the cockpit or?
Yeah, I'll stay in the cockpit. Okay. Just kind of watching to see what's going on. You know, I probably has like a comm link to Lion too, right? So in case anything go south, and it will if our destiny points tell me anything. I'll be there.
Okay. So as you're in the cockpit looking out, you're clutching the comlink rather intensely out of sheer terror. The communications signal on the instrument panel there before you lights up, and you hear a little alarm letting you know that someone is trying to establish a connection.
Oh no! I didn't think anyone other than Lan would call me. oh, I hate phone calls. Okay, which button? This one.
Now, you hit the flashing button, and you hear a voice. The windshield wipers, come on. you hear a voice going,
This is Captain Ozawa of the Corsair, crew of the last ride. We are prepared to talk. Where would you like to meet? You want us to come there? You want to come here? You want to meet out in the middle somewhere?
One moment, please.
And you hear, when you say that, on the other end in the background, you hear kind of some chuckles, and you hear somebody say,
they said, hold on, please. Jeez.
I'm so sorry. Oh, well. I click, and I'm trying to get in contact with Lan through the comm. Does he pick up?
Yes.
They want to know where to meet. In the middle, at their ship, I mean.
In the middle.
In the middle?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell them that.
We're making our way there.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hang up on you. Captain Lan would like to meet in the middle.
Copy that.
Copy what?
Click. Very good. All right, so, Draco, you're back out in the In the sun, scorching heat. You make your way to one of the earth movers, only to find that it is not functional and the engine components have been removed long ago. And anything else that looks like it, like all the controls in the cockpit, so to speak, like all the buttons have been removed. Anything that looks like it's of remote value or usefulness has been moved. Like the leather from the seats have been stripped. I mean, it's just crazy.
I will head back to the ship and get the turret ready.
And then you two, Vog and Lan, make your way to the center. You get there. I mean, you can see a group of people approaching. There are four of them that come out to meet you. The one who leads he stands out front. He's a Weequay, but he doesn't have that long ponytail thing. His is completely lopped off. One of his eyes is completely missing. It's just gone. The other one is you know, pretty sharp. His face is pretty scarred. Looks like he's lived about the same kind of life that Vog and Draco have lived, a very rough life. The other group with him, or the rest of the folks with him, you know, a couple of humans and another Weequay. No, sorry, a Gran, which are the guys with the three eye stalks. You know, the big, they like have cow mouths and they've got the three eye stalks that come out. One of those walks with him. These guys carry heavy blaster pistols and holsters. The Gran has a really big, looks like a vibro combat knife kind of thing, like a Bowie knife tucked into a sheath on his boot that you can see. And the two humans are carrying blaster rifles, and they're wearing garb similar to what you're wearing, the loose robey kind of stuff that absorbs the heat and disperses it. And they have respirators, but they're not on because for some reason, after a massive sandstorm like this, the wind, the air is just dead. There's no movement in the air at all. But you can see sweat beading off of them, their faces and stuff, just like you guys have. Because even though you're wearing the suits, it's not going to stop your face or your hands, anything exposed, from sweating as you walk up. And you guys kind of meet roughly about the same time. The two guys with the blaster rifles, they kind of hang back, so they're not right up in your face, but the Gran and the Weequay are, they approach.
Gentlemen, pleasure to meet you out here today.
Sirs, I am Captain Ozala. This is the Weequay speaking.
Captain Lankai.
And this is Elko of the Reaver. And when the captain, the other captain speaks, his voice is real deep and very intimidating almost, because it booms when he speaks, and he looks at you with his three eyes and says, well met.
So it seems that we're both here on behalf of the mining corporation to recover their equipment.
Okay.
Honestly, there's nothing here that I can see that really interests us at this time. We're not equipped to haul out these big metal earth movers and such, so you're more than welcome to it.
He looks deep in thought as he digests what you're saying, and you can tell he's really contemplating his next move as well as his next sentence very carefully. And he finally speaks, and he kind of glances at the Gran with his good eye as he turns back to you and says, "And have you scouted already? Have you taken stuff already?"
No, there was really not that much here when we arrived that we could handle. I think at this point we're just going to go see if we can help those miners. Are you willing to help us with that?
No, not at all. And that's a pretty sinister thing. I mean, he just says it like, you know, "Did you pick up milk today?" "No, I didn't pick up milk today." It's very...
couldn't care less.
Right. Which is another concern. Another red flag goes up in your mind, I guess.
Well, there's many that have gone up so far. So I'm just trying to... a series of red flags. Well, that's certainly your prerogative. Is there anything that we can help you with?
Again, he's thinking again for his next move and what he's going to say next. And it's like, no, sir, I think we're okay. So you're giving up all rights to this particular site?
Sure. Not really anything here for us. We'll just go on our way and leave you to do whatever you need to do.
Okay. He looks, instead of being sinister and ominous and intimidating or anything, the look on his face is just one of like confusion, like he's trying to figure out what angle, why would you just give up stuff, is what he's thinking. He's like, he shakes his head no. He's like, "You're not you guys aren't scavengers."
No, we're not scavengers. We're merchants, and we haul freight from time to time. If you're ever interested, the last ride is always available, interested parties.
Oh, well, I mean, we've got tramp freighters, and he gestures with his thumb back behind him at the two ships that are sitting there. We can haul cargo.
Oh, that I have no doubt. But sometimes you need, you know, a small crew with a small freighter to get from place to place.
You're talking about being discreet.
Absolutely.
Interesting. And you can haul people?
Certainly.
Interesting. We're not slavers. And he looks at the Trandoshan like he's letting you know up front he's not a slaver. He knows the reputations of Trandoshans is probably more...
We are slavers. Trandoshans tend to be.
Right. So no, nothing like that. But sometimes we have a need to get people into places discreetly, or get people out of places discreetly. So Captain Lan of the Last Ride, we may be able to do business someday if the need ever comes up and you're available. You're new to this area.
Yes, me personally. Sure.
And your ship, right?
Yeah.
No. Your ship's been here before.
Well, not with me on it. I can't say what the previous owner did or did not do with the ship.
The Last Ride has been here before.
Oh, okay.
Many times. I think a regular.
If you say so.
Yeah, right.
So I look forward to the day that we can help each other out.
Me too. And he just kind of smiles. Me too. Let's get to it, boys. And they turn and walk away. The two humans in the Grand get a good ways out, and the Weequay is right behind them. But he stops, you know, a little ways out with them, and they keep walking. He just kind of looks back, over his left shoulder with his good eye. He looks back at you guys, and then you can see him glance back at the last ride, and then he turns and walks off with the group. And you can hear them talking, but you really can't make out what they're saying.
So I thought about it. I said I hate that guy.
I most definitely hate that guy. But we're a little outmanned here. Specifically outgunned.
Yeah.
A few credits from some scrap iron is not worth dying for, I don't think.
No.
We'll get back to the ship. I think we may have lost our rights to this particular job, but maybe we should help find those miners. Maybe we can get a reward for that.
Yeah. I mean, well, not really. I mean, we would be saving their life, you know. I mean, that should be reward enough. But yeah.
yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I wonder how many they got on their ship.
A lot from what I saw. Those, like, when they came out, all, like, angry looking. There's, like, one, two. There was a lot.
You saw at least six people down there.
Right. What's normally the crew complement for those types of freighters?
I believe it might be six.
Each?
Yep.
And they had heavy blasters and rifles. Yeah, it's scrap iron's not worth that.
I wasn't thinking about the scrap iron. I was thinking more about two ships, but
we wouldn't be able to man them if we could.
Six would be a skeleton crew.
Mm-hmm.
They would actually could be up to 10 crew members. On each ship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not staffed enough to get one from place A to place B. So, and it definitely wouldn't be worth the trouble. There's too many of them. The chances of them turning our ship into a pile of slag is too high.
I say maybe we go over to the farm that the mining company had mentioned to us. The miners had last been seen close to that.
Right, the Malvo farm.
Sounds like a plan.
So we'll fire up and fly all over that way.
Okay, so as you launch, you can take the scenic route if you wish and get a good flyover of those two ships just so you can get a better look at them. Probably half of their armament are ion cannons, which is another weird thing because those guys look like they would be people that would just want to just destroy anything that crossed their paths.
No, I disagree. That makes perfect sense, I think.
Right.
Because they don't want to blow our ship up. They want to neutralize it so they can come in, kill us, and then have the ship for scrap.
Or whatever they want to do.
Why search for scrap when you can make it?
Yeah, I definitely hate those guys.
I'm so uncomfortable. I just keep looking over, and Tim's smile keeps getting bigger, like,
it's just, nice.
It's true. You do seem to be enjoying this.
I am enjoying it. I'm having fun.
Too much. I'm, like, kind of nervous.
I don't know. There's just
something. I think the entire crew's nervous because there's only so many of us.
Yeah.
Not nervous. I'm just not good at math.
Well.
I could kill four.
As you fly and approach the other farm, there's a, and they call it a river, but it's not a river at all. It's more like a mix of silt and sand and water. And so it looks more like a quicksand river. And in certain places, you know, there's not like massive amounts of standing water anywhere, you know, and if you were down there walking, there might be some depressions in the river where the water happens to seep up, but those would be rare. So as you guys approach and get within so many kilometers of the Malvo farm, you can see that it is it's a pretty massive farm. It's pretty large. There are lots of rows upon rows of cactus fields. I mean, it just stands out. You can see it. And the compound is entirely walled in. And there's a makeshift landing area outside the compound walls. It's like there's like a couple of sheds out there and then a smoothed out circular patch of sand and dirt that's been hardened for long-term use. And you guys can sit down there, sit your ship down there, set it down.
All right, we'll land there, and then everybody want to go?
Yes.
Draco?
Is this an active farm? Or is this?
It is active.
Okay, so they're, yeah, I'm going.
Okay, so everybody's going, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Correct. So you can shut the ship up, lock it down, and start walking towards the farm. When you guys get so far, you know, roughly halfway between the landing pad and the front gate, you get a little greeting party. It's like the local inhabitants of the farm come out. They're armed, but they're not armed like
those other guys.
Like those other guys, right? They do have a blaster rifles and blaster pistols, but not heavy stuff.
About how many of them are we looking at?
You only got like three people. One's an older man, and then the other two are like young guys. One of the young guys has a strong resemblance to the older guy, but the other gentleman does not. So it could be a brother or a son, most likely a son, given the fact that he's so much older. The older guy comes out, he holds his right hand up, palm out, like he's almost waving, and, you know, good morning.
I wave back.
Hello there, Captain Lankai of the Last Ride.
He shakes his head in acknowledgement, like, I mean, not that he knows you, but he's recognizing, you know, what you're saying. Yeah. Good morning. Can I help you guys? Having trouble with your ship?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Nothing like that. We're actually here on behalf of the mining company. Of course, you know of the incident that happened at the mine.
Yeah, those Scorn they're causing havoc everywhere.
We were hoping that you might have some information maybe on the miners that were taken. I believe they were seen close to the farm here. We're just trying to find out what happened.
Okay. You guys, come on in. And he's kind of discreetly, he tries to size you guys up to see if he can tell what kind of threat, if at all, you guys would be. But Land's demeanor is kind of not off-putting, but it's has almost a calming, trusting effect on him. So he's like, let's get out of the heat. Come on in. As he starts to turn, the gentleman to his left that doesn't bear any resemblance to him puts his hand up on the guy's shoulder and leans in and whispers something to him. And he's like, I think it'll be all right. I saw these guys in town the other day. Come on in. Let's get out of the heat.
It sounds like a plan to me.
So you guys go in. Again, the farm is pretty large. When you go through the main gates, you can see that there's a couple of watchtowers on either side of the gate. And there's some guys up there with rifles that are looking out across the landscape. And you can see set at certain points all around the perimeter on the wall, there are different watchtowers that are covered to keep people out of the heat. The gates are massive, and there's like a path that comes in. It's packed down dirt or sand, probably sand. And then a couple of paths veer off from it, and you can see that there are four round domed buildings. They look like they're like basically sand igloos is what you would think of when you see them. And out of the top center, they have antenna and things like that, communications things that come up. And in the back, there's another larger building that is, it looks like the buildings you see on the farms that are kind of like I don't know how to describe them. They're not domed, but they're round shaped.
Spherical?
Not spherical, like a can of ham. You know what I'm saying? Like
teardrop.
Cylindrical? I
mean, yeah, cylindrical, like it's, oval. You know, the people put hay in them. Yeah.
Silo.
But off to the right, the majority of the complex is a ginormous field of cacti. They're one cacti, but it comes in like, it has the stalks that grow up, like you see in the desert, just stick straight up. And then coming out of the base of it, it does like a cacti ground covering. So it's almost like vines. It all spreads out on the ground. And they've got little paths that weave through here. And they've got all these hoses and like water processors that are plugged into the cacti down near the base. You've seen these things in town.
Yeah, they pump water into the cacti.
They put water into the cacti, right?
As told by our doctor.
Who is smart.
Yeah, definitely.
IR smart. And you can see that there's like workers out there, and they're wearing these thick, almost rubber pants with suspenders, like you would see people that go fishing,
right,
wear to go down into the water. But they're wearing those to walk through the fields. And the boots that they're wearing and the pants themselves are one unit. So when you take the pants off, the boots come off with it. Then you assume that's for protection against the cacti. Some of the cacti have these real pretty brilliant colored flowers that go from a dark, deep, rich blue, and then some of them pale out to a real, almost sky blue kind of color.
Well, this is quite the little place you have here. I've never seen a farm like this.
Yeah, his expression goes from jovial to suspicious for a second.
Little. Be ashamed if anything were to happen to it.
Well, that's a concern.
It's out of character.
Right, well, that would be a concern, and that's obviously what he's thinking. It's like, well, wait a minute.
Well, I see that expression on his face. And,
right.
I don't mean to offend. I grew up on Coruscant. Things were much larger there. It's just what I'm used to. I did not mean to offend at all. I was actually impressed with how it looks, and it seems very efficient.
I appreciate that. I didn't mean any offense by the look on my face. I apologize. And there's just something about this, the way this guy talks, that you can't help but want to hear him speak. You've met people like that.
Sure.
In real life, right, and in games. Whatever this guy's selling, you would feel like you'd be willing to buy it, and you don't even know what it is. He's very charismatic. He seems to be very well spoken, if not a little suspicious. And he goes, I apologize. You just have to understand that we're having some trouble with a guy who, he kind of rolls his eyes and says, as cliche as it is, living in a place like this, we've got a guy who wants to buy the farm. And I don't want to sell it, so I'm dealing with that, and then, you know, still trying to maintain survivability out here. So
I kind of motioned to one of the guard towers as we're walking by. Is that mostly scorn you get out here, or is there like the scavengers for going ahead into the mine giving you trouble? Or?
No, not those. Not any of those kind of guys. It's a group of individuals who are buying all the farms like this that run along the river. There's three other ones.
We're the Pale Rider. I get it now.
Exactly. So there's like, you know, three other farms that run up the river here, and this guy from another town is trying to buy them all up.
Why is he trying to monopolize it? I mean,
well, he points at the cacti and says it's the cacti he wants. I mean, if you haven't looked around since you've been here, there's no overabundance of water, which begs another question as to why would people live on a planet where there's not a whole lot of water. But
you get me started.
Right. Miners came here. Their family stayed, and this has been a mining planet for a long time. And, well, to be honest, most of them can't afford to just up and move away, especially when you've lived here for, you know, generations. You're not just going to up and move. So my family owned this farm, and when the Senate was disbanded, I came back home and picked up operations, and that's where I've been ever since. Our biggest problem is trying to get that guy to stop destroying my equipment and stop trying to sabotage and smearing my name through the sand.
Wait, he's destroying your equipment? And
well, yeah, I mean, we have sensor outposts that are set up around the perimeter, you know, a couple of kilometers out from here. So it would give us warning of approaching Scorn and that kind of stuff, and they keep getting destroyed. I'm not sure if it's Scorn or them, but
can't you get a hold of like any like local authority to like to put it in?
Tyr? You're talking about Tyr and Felina, right? The Duros, he's the governor. That's the only authority around here. And right.
I have to apologize if that's who you're leaning on for support.
Well, this is a shadow port for the most part. I mean, the Empire has no desire or jurisdiction here. They have jurisdiction, but why would they exercise it over this place? So the best thing you can do is hire mercenaries to take care of your problems or try to outsmart whatever enemies you have, which is currently what I'm trying to do, outtalk them. But, you know, it's easier said than done sometimes, and they've not been super aggressive, but I'm afraid the day's going to come when they're going to try to take the compound. I think if the cacti weren't so valuable, that they would probably just wipe us out. If they wanted something other than our crops, then that's what they would do.
They already have three farms. I don't understand why they would want yours too.
Well, it's not for the water, I can tell you that.
What is it for?
Well, it's for the flowers.
I mean, they're beautiful, but
sure, right. But when they bloom and they're at their richest state, apparently, which is the dark blue, No, I'm lying to you. When they ripen,
I'm colorblind, so it doesn't matter.
Oh well, they're blue, and they start out dark blue, and as they age, as the blooms age, they turn into this sky blue color. Right at that point, you can pick them. They can be processed by some idiot or genius, whatever you want to call it, has found a way to process those petals and turn them into a spice.
Well, I can understand what their interest is there. Have you been able to repair the sensors that were destroyed?
I send some guys out, and we have to go out every couple of days and repair them. And it's only been going on for like a couple of weeks, so it's not like it's turned to the point where I've been hiring mercenaries to do my fighting for me. But, you know, it's me, my wife, and I probably shouldn't even be really given a whole lot of intel about what's going on here. But you seem like, as weird as it might be, you seem like pretty good people that I could trust to an extent. So we have hired guards. We have security here. My son-in-law covers security. He oversees that, repairing those things. And the last guy who went out, we had a crew go out. We were attacked by a small scouting party of Scorn. And our mechanic, he got banged up pretty good. He's in the infirmary now.
I can help.
How would you help?
Well, I'm...
And he looks, his eyes kind of wide, and he's like, how the heck would you help?
Well,
I can eat him.
Lick his face, you know, bedside manner. I'm a doctor. This is what I do for a living, so I can totally help patch him up. I mean, if that's okay.
Can he frowns and cuts his eyes at Vogue like...
It's not as bad as you think. He actually is a good doctor. He's rubbish at everything else, but he's a good doctor. Just good people. I'll pat him on the back real hard.
Almost knocking him down. He stumbles forward as you put a big meaty hand on his back.
Ooh.
And he goes, well, yeah, sure. Come this way and we'll talk to everybody.
Great.
So are you saying you guys are willing to help?
Look, we're not mercenaries, okay? We tend to transport things, but we're willing to help out. Of course, we need to be compensated for our time.
I can probably compensate as best that I can. I just want you to know right up front that this isn't like a spice farm or anything. I farm water. It's a hydro farm. We just do water. We don't do any of that illegal stuff. Well, it's not really illegal around here, but
so
in certain parts.
So what do you do with your flowers?
Nothing. I'm not in it for the flowers or the spice. We're in it for the water. We sell our water to town, but we don't use. I mean, we obviously use it, but that's the best and only way to get any real water out of this place. I mean, we've tried the moisture operations, but it doesn't pull enough water from the air. The place is so arid that we have to pull it from the depths of the planet, whatever seeped into the ground. And the cacti are the best way to do that.
Well,
I
think
waste.
Sounds like a waste. I mean, well, what are we supposed to do?
Sell your flowers.
And no, those guys don't want the flowers so much as they want the crop. They want the whole thing.
Just an idea.
So we're right. Certainly willing to help out where we can. We're always looking for a job. What really is it that you need?
I don't know. I've tried talking to the guy, and he insists on taking the farm. So I'm not really sure.
I mean, I know it's not ideal, especially for someone of your background. But is there any consideration to just making some kind of trade agreement to like give him the because the flowers are the only thing he really wants. I mean, he wants the cactus because they produce it, but
yeah, I tried that, but I think his idea is, why would I take half of the profits when I can take all of the profits? He can use the flowers to make a spice, and then he can sell the water to supplement what he's not making off the spice. It's just a vicious cycle. And Tyr, he's not a great guy.
He's a worthless drunk.
That's probably more accurate, but he's feared in town because of his lackeys and what he's willing to do, but he's not law enforcement. He don't care, you know. He's going to get the water either way, whether it comes from me or it comes from Tonovan. It doesn't matter.
That's foolish. If the man has the only water supply around here, then he can charge whatever he wants. You would think he would care that he'd be price gouged unnecessarily.
Right, but
a drunken fool doesn't care about his credits, how much he wastes.
No, as long as he's getting what he needs, I guess he's all right. So,
well, we will continue this conversation next time on episode 2.
Yay!
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network, bringing you the geek.